agendas for this year are gelling up rapidly. Next week, we'll hear the inaugural address, and there will apparently already be bills for the new president to sign. The Obama team also gets a document from the Conference of Young Alaskans. Really? Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. Our number is 1-800-478-8255, toll-free. That's 478-TALK. In Anchorage, a local call at 550-8422, email talk@APRN.org. Participants in the Conference of Young Alaskans are our guests this week on Talk of Alaska Statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. The Rasmussen Foundation is announcing March 1st as the deadline to apply for an Individual Artist Awards grant, which provides funding directly to artists to support their creative work. You can sign up to participate in one of the Rasmussen information sessions to be held the week of January 19th by calling 297-2876 or go online at rasmussen.org for more information. This message sponsored by the Rasmussen Foundation.
Well, the Conference of Young Alaskans was in Girdwood, and we have two of the participants available to talk with us. And we understand that other participants, there were 55 of them in all, may be calling in from wherever they are at school or home, if they can get around the radio and something comes up, they want to be sure was not covered by our two very capable and very involved participants themselves. Let's begin by welcoming Anastasia Brees. She is a student at Tri-Valley High School. She's in the principal's office right now in Healy. Anastasia, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So where would you be if you weren't on the radio right now, Anastasia?
literacy class, probably.
And you're a senior, right?
Yes.
Can you tell me what your plans are when you graduate?
Well, I'm hoping to go into environmental policy or something involving energy resources development.
Well, there's a whole lot of that around, it seems.
Yes.
A lot of career options. So I assume you're actively considering higher education then.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. We'll also got John Darman Harris. Do I have that right? Darman. Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. Thanks.
And you're a student in Anchorage, right?
West? Yeah, I go to West.
And what's your? I know from the bio that you sent me that you are extremely interested in politics.
Right, and China.
Politics and China. Well, they can be somewhat synonymous, I think, especially in the next 50 years, wouldn't you say?
I do agree.
And you've already spent some time in China.
Right. I spent a month there this summer.
So also with us from his office at the Chancellor's Office of the University of Alaska Fairbanks is Brian Rogers. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska, Brian.
Thanks, Hugh, and good morning.
Brian, you are, I think we still call you acting chancellor, but it's for an extended period of time now, right?
Yes, it's a 2-year interim chancellor position.
And you have been involved with this Conference of Young Alaskans, for those who do not know, from the beginning and as the facilitator, and that included this session in Girdwood, right?
Yes, I facilitated the Conference of Young Alaskans 3 years ago and then had the joy of doing it again last week.
So I am basically at the disposal of the three of you to get across what it is that you'd like to get across, and to have our facilitate the comments from our listeners about that. I know that the previous Conference of Young Alaskans made a priority of kind of keeping themselves going as a standing committee to make sure that their priorities got addressed. Is that going to be the case here again, John?
I absolutely hope so. I'd like to keep discussing these issues and getting more feedback, because there are only 55 of us, and I know there are so many more issues and ideas that could be brought up from the rest of the young Alaskan population.
Now, Anastasia, we got another 50 years of statehood ahead of us. This is going to be the time when your generation will be taking the controls. It was thought really that the 55 were potential future leaders. Do you feel that the outcome of this conference really allows some kind of framework for addressing a sustainable future for Alaska?
Yes, I definitely think so. As an entire group, we really planned out our priorities for our future. And by sending this to the state government and the Obama administration, we're letting them know exactly what ideas we want completed.
So how does this work with the Obama administration? Is there a point person in the administration that you're dealing with that you know they'll actually pay attention to what you send them? John?
I don't know.
Anastasia?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that either.
Brian Rogers?
The steering committee is still working on how they will present the vision, the goals, and the action items to both the Alaska legislature and governor and to the national administration. I don't think they have their strategy in place yet.
Okay, so basically what they did is they sent it off to committee.
Yes.
So are either one of you two on the steering committee, John?
No, I was a delegate.
And you too, Anastasia?
Yeah, same here.
So you feel, how big is this steering committee, Anastasia?
It's, I think, 9 members, I believe so. And it's mostly made up of former delegates from the 2006 conference.
I see. So they already kind of know the ropes.
Right.
What sticks in your mind, John? I know that you like the political process. And you got to meet people maybe out of different cultures than you really had foreseen out of this. Tell me a little bit about that.
You mean what I enjoyed about that?
What's the highlight of the conference for you? What did it do for you personally as your personal reaction? What was most gratifying about it?
It was so inspiring. I've never met kids this capable and smart with ideas like this. It was so inspiring. Just talking to them and keeping talking to them is and will be the best part of this conference.
You say will be.
Yeah, I hope I can keep talking to these people forever.
Well, nowadays people carry around these BlackBerries and they send texts to one another all the time. I mean, it would seem that you probably won't lose touch.
Right.
And you too, Anastasia. Are you already hearing from some of your friends you made there?
Yes, I'm definitely still in contact with many of them.
All right.
We're still discussing a lot of issues.
So what was your committee? Which one did you choose? I understand, Brian, that they broke down into committees. And which one did you choose, Anastasia?
I was on natural resources and environment.
And that sort of lines up with your interests, as you've told us.
Yeah.
How did they tackle their work? At what point was Brian there, and at what point did they just take off on their own?
Well, we did 3 different sections. Within the committees, we discussed vision statements, which are just, they kind of show the dreams that we have overall for the committee. And then as an entire group, all 55 delegates, we would debate on that vision statement and decide what we wanted for that. Next, we did the same with 5 goals and then 10 specific action items.
And let me see if I get the process straight. You figured out who was on the committees, and then you had a vision statement for each committee, or the body, the entire body, decided on these visions?
Each committee decided its vision statement, and then the whole group voted on whether they would like to pass that vision statement or not.
I see. And then when it came to, like, actually priorities and action items, the same deal?
Yes.
I see. So it was within your group. You selected your own leadership and all that sort of thing?
Yes. Yeah. It was delegate-driven.
Steve, this is Brian, and each of the delegates had opportunities to put in their goals and their suggested action items for all of the different areas. Each of the work groups worked on sort of the refinement of its group, but there was an opportunity for everybody to participate in all of the groups.
So do we actually get into the future with this, John, do you think?
Yes, I think the ideas that we produced will have lasting effects if they're put in place.
It would seem like, history's moving pretty fast right now. You know, we had the huge financial collapse. We have the prospect that we'll probably have something done in Congress with regards to health care, I would think, fairly soon. We have rapidly changing dynamics of energy. Personally, I can't see more than about 3 months into the future right now. I'm trying to figure out how you could possibly look, you know, 50 years.
Right. Well, these ideas that we made were to work on today's problems and to move today forward from now. We're not looking to combat tomorrow's problems. I mean, we are, because we're forecasting from today. So we have the same problem you do.
Yeah. So what committee were you on?
I was on economy, government, and global relations.
So give me some idea of where you came out on this.
We decided to move the state into a more global friendly, especially in the circumpolar region, as well as more infrastructure and facilitation of the government's role in the economy.
That sounds pretty solid. I mean, we know the ice is going out of the Arctic, and something's got to be done about that. The president just put out his statement. We finally got a look at what that was yesterday on the Arctic policy, and it's pretty firm on forming whatever international alliances are required, short of treaties, to deal with the opening up of the Arctic, which I guess we're going to see. So you mentioned China as an interest of yours.
Personally.
And I would think that this would also have figured into the strategies that you were talking about.
Somewhat. I'd say it's more of a personal interest.
Yeah. Well, tell me about it.
About China?
About your experience already with China, and you're dying to get back there.
Well, I got to spend a month there studying economics, and I absolutely fell in love with it. The people, the food, the place, everything around it, I fell in love.
And when you say studying economics, tell me, what do you have to go to class?
Or? I did. I spent 3 weeks taking a class from a Stanford correspondence course.
I see. And staying with a Chinese family, or how did that work?
No, we stayed in a dorm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and where was it?
In Beijing.
Really? Right there,
right in the middle.
Capital city. Is it as polluted as they say?
No. I was there the month before the Olympics, and it was almost pristine.
Ah, they had it all cleaned up for you.
Yes.
And, you know, it's funny. One thing that I was kind of scratching my head over is the bicycle attitude over there, in the sense that it just seems so romantic to us that people were willingly riding bicycles, old ladies, everybody just getting around on bicycles. It turns out they can't wait to get off of them. Is that your observation?
The people I met seemed very happy to be riding bicycles.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, okay, our telephone number is 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. I don't think it would be constructive for us to sit down and read, you know, what you're going to send to Obama and to the state administration, but it would be nice to engage the listeners a little bit on some tangibles of what you came up with. Maybe that's a little different from what you might have expected when you came into it. Any ideas on that, John?
I'm sorry?
Well, you had expectations when, you know, you're one of the 55. You go, you meet in Girdwood, you go through this very intense experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you come out of it, what was different from what you went in with? Once you actually came to grips with more of the tangibility of issues, you know, is there something that sticks out that was, wow, you know, I hadn't really looked at it that way?
For me, every issue was like that. It spun my head around on so many things. I've never met people this wonderful and smart that I disagree with. And it really helped me think about issues. And I know, for me, issues that used to be solid have totally spun around. And I hope that I can talk to as many people as I can to help shape those, my ideas.
How about you, Anastasia?
Yeah, I definitely went into the conference not knowing exactly what to expect. And it seemed, it surprised me because every individual there, every delegate really knew their stance on every issue. And it was wonderful to hear really convincing arguments for every side.
Oh, so there you are disagreeing, huh? Somehow I pictured you all came together and you would all agree, but it was diverse enough that you were disagreeing.
Definitely.
can you give me an example in the environmental area?
Well, one action item that was suggested was deciding that alternative energy should be our number one priority, and many people were arguing that we should look more into our coal and our oil resources and finish those off before we get into alternative energy.
Ah, and what was the outcome of that debate?
Well, we kind of have a few action items that cover both sides of that, but I think mostly the priority is to look into alternative energy.
Now, Brian Rogers, tell me that just, that's a success story and not just a watering down of the passions that these young people arrived with.
Well, I think the process was a success story, and, you know, they adopted over 50 action items. 22 of those were adopted unanimously. The others had at least one opponent, and there were the process that the steering committee set up. If five delegates disagreed with an item, they could bring it to a vote, and it needed two-thirds to stay in the document. And so every item had to have at least two-thirds support in order to stay there. And they debated four items that there were appeals filed by at least five people and adopted a couple, rejected a couple. But what we end up with is a supermajority favoring the 50 actions in the five areas.
Okay, so I'm not clear, Anastasia, on how it came out on what we ought to do about our massive coal deposits.
Well, there were 10 action items under our committee, and there were, there's one that says Alaska will prioritize the development of renewable energy resources, and then others say will support new and existing responsible development of former industries.
I see, responsible.
And actually, that one of the action items calls for investment in research and development of cleaner, more efficient, and innovative ways to use and produce gas, coal, and oil.
Yeah. I was astounded yesterday to see Rex Tillerson, the chairman of the ExxonMobil Corporation, has come out in favor of a carbon tax. Did you guys consider a carbon tax in your priorities?
No, I don't believe that came up. But
I'm just wondering, because it would seem like for something like coal, for instance, about 3 years ago, they started talking about this thing called Future Gen. And we've talked about this on Talk of Alaska quite a bit. It was the idea that if we can just find a way to sequester the carbon, coal is a great source of energy, and the technology already exists to do that, although there might be some problem with geology and scale and whatnot. And particularly in Alaska, this might be the case where we know that they would like to pressurize more fossil resources out of Cook Inlet, and there's also the massive deposit of coal right on the inlet. And so it was thought that the Agrium deal might yield a sequestration process that would be a demonstration project for the rest of the nation. That deal didn't go through. And Future Gen, it turns out, was dropped by the government because it turned out to be too expensive to sequester the carbon from generating power from coal. So in other words, only a carbon tax would rationalize this as in terms of balancing the amount of carbon that's put out by this fossil source versus, say, natural gas. So, it just seems like we're already moving on this one, Anastasia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. We wanted to make sure that we push to keep that development going. And we also wanted to make sure that with existing resources development that we make sure that we are managing ecosystems sustainably. So that we're looking at the environment as well as the resources that we're taking.
Okay, y'all. Brian, I think we're probably done with you. If there's anything you want to add, I did want to ask you if the process is over. We know that these kids will stay together. There will be a steering committee that will advance the work and keep an eye on what happens with their priorities. But in terms of if you can get them to convene again, would you like that to happen? Could it happen? Is it in the cards?
Yes, yes, and yes.
All right.
The steering committee that came out of the first conference that helped plan the second is working on a continuation plan, and I would expect the steering committee for the third to come in large part out of the second. The Denali Commission has funded some follow-up for the planning. We don't have funding for the conference itself, and there's still a question as to whether this should be every 3 years, as it's been so far, or every 2 years, and what, you know, sort of where it might go from here. But clearly, the young Alaskans that participated cared deeply about Alaska, passionately about the future, and I know as one Alaskan, I'd be happy to turn Alaska over to them based on the quality of discussion and the thoughtfulness they put into their process.
I noticed one thing they came up with is in the education category was a recommendation to get some better incentives in the student loans and so forth for people to come back to Alaska or to stay in Alaska once they've graduated from college.
And certainly, a lot of us would like to see that. I went to school when the loan program had a forgiveness plan for people who came back to Alaska. There was good discussion over that as to whether there should be some level of public service or career demand in that. Very thoughtful discussion. But I think overall, a feeling that we don't want to lose the smart kids we have, and that we also don't want to have people leaving college with a mountain of debt.
Yeah. Before you leave us, Brian, let's see. You might want to come to bear on William's question out of Fairbanks. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, William.
Good morning. I'm curious as to the funding, the amount of this program, also the mechanism by which these children were selected, and a question to the children there who are guests, what would be their perspective on a group of 55 sixth graders getting together and discussing the future of Alaska, et cetera, and a final question, what about monorails? If this is a real government-funded a program there about the future, I would assume they would have at least a subcommittee there that would address monorails. I'll hang up, and I have a final question. Perhaps Mr. Rogers could tell us what Dave Munson's $150,000 a year has generated so far the last 6 months there as far as the Susan Butcher Leadership Institute. I'll hang up and listen to the response.
Oh, that was fun, William. Thank you so much. Okay, I think we'll put aside the sixth grader question, but nonetheless, Brian, he basically says, hey, what's this costing us?
And actually, I don't know. I was a volunteer a facilitator for it. The program was run out of the president's office at the university. I can get that information, but frankly, don't know offhand what the total cost was. It's not insubstantial. The logistical support, the travel and hotel costs for the delegates, the planning group meetings that were involved. So it was a in the, you know, probably a couple $100,000, but I don't know exactly what that cost was because I wasn't involved in that portion of it.
And how come you didn't bring up monorails, Brian?
I didn't bring up anything. It was up to the delegates.
All right. Thanks so much for being with us.
You bet. Thank you.
Brian Rogers was the facilitator once again of the Conference of Young Alaskans, and he's chancellor acting chancellor of the University of Alaska Fairbanks. We've got two of the delegates to the conference with us here on Talk of Alaska. Our telephone number is 1-800-478-8255, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. And our email is talk@APRN.org, where Andrew says, Mr. Heimel should mention that the entire three-day conference of Young Alaskans was filmed by KTOO of Juneau, and a 10-hour compilation has already begun airing on the 360 North television station, which is Channel 15 on, I guess, cable in Anchorage, I think. Cable? Would that be cable or broadcast? I'm not even sure. Watching this program will give folks an insight into how the conference delegates debated their ideas and made their decisions. Thank you, Andrew. Let's go to Fred, who joins the program from Barrow. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Fred.
Hey, thank you a lot for allowing me to be on. I just wanted to comment that it's very important for our young kids to be educated in Alaska's interest, and a lot of Alaska's interest is in minerals, in oil and gas development. I'm 40 years old now. Before I'm 60, I hope to see a Alaska Railroad along the foothills of our Brooks Range up here so that we can get into our coal beds that are just laying there. And, you know, that's way down the line. And it's very important to get our kids while they're still in high school and get them thinking about what is in their future's interest here in Alaska. And I just wanted to comment, awesome program, and thanks for allowing me to be on.
All right, Fred. And I think, as you heard from Anastasia, that that very quickly came up when they started talking about energy, where she said that they were going to put the priority on renewable energy. And there was definitely a faction within the group that said, hey, what about our existing fossil resources? They're very abundant in Alaska. And so they had to really modify their message because of that.
Yes, very much. We have lots of coal beds here on the foothills of our Brooks Range. And, you know, Arctic Soil Regional Corporation owns a good portion of that land over there on the foothills. And, you know, I hope that before my lifetime ends that we can bring that to market and, you know, have our kids educated in this area, because Alaska is a oil and gas and mineral state, and you know, that's what runs our state and our government and all our existing infrastructure. And it's awesome to know that we're educating our kids in this direction.
All right, Fred, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to one more call here before the break. Vaughn joins the program, also from Healy. So I would assume, Vaughn, that you know Anastasia.
Yeah, actually, we're in her literacy class that she's supposed to be in right now.
Is she missing anything?
Well, mention anything about the program?
No, I just...
She was excited and nervous about that.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. I have one question from our class. We were wondering what types of alternative energies... really, what was their focus on that? Was that a priority?
Okay, we did go into that a little bit, but I'll let her recap. Anastasia, Vaughn is back in the classroom there.
Yes, hello.
And has the energy question once again. That seems to be our big one so far today.
Yeah, well, we had 10 action items. So under those, we definitely prioritized renewable energy resources, but we also mentioned that we want to make sure to manage our ecosystem sustainably so that we address that as well as the industries we already have within energy.
Okay.
But we want to make sure to replace that economy, work towards replacing that economy in the future when these non-renewable resources may run out at some point.
All right.
All right, Vaughn. Hey, thanks for your call. Get back in class now.
All right.
All right. As Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from this APRN member station. The Alaska Public Radio Network builds bridges of communication between urban and rural Alaska. APRN, covering the stories that impact the lives of all Alaskans.
It is Talk of Alaska, and the subject here in our second show of the second 50 years of statehood is the Conference of Young Alaskans. We're kind of dwelling on civic affairs here as we enter into this new year of Talk of Alaska, and that's kind of fun. We had the Chancellor of the University of Alaska Fairbanks on here, and one of the other people involved with this was the Chancellor of the University of Alaska Anchorage, Fran Ulmer, and it would have been great to have her on as well because she has gone into this subject of civic engagement in the past and always has triggered a tremendous response from the listeners about involving young people in the civic process. And certainly John here has kind of, seems to me, got religion here about the civic process. John Derman Harris is one of the delegates. He's a West High student, senior, yes?
Junior.
Junior. And he's already been to China. John, tell me what impressed you about the coming together of this, the process of it.
Every aspect of the conversations of the people, I've never been engaged in such nonpartisan, smart discussions. If I ever get into professional politics, this is what I want it to be like.
Well, I prepare yourself for disappointment, I think I'll say.
I hope not.
Let's go to Juno and Caroline. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Caroline.
Hi, Steve, and hi, John and Anastasia.
Hey, Caroline.
I was a delegate representing Chugiak, my hometown.
Well, tell me about your view of it. Are these guys covering it? Is there something they're leaving out?
Oh, no, they're doing a great job. I just wanted to call and tell all the listeners what an awesome opportunity it was. And I think what's really important and what I took away from this was that the goals of young Alaskans, while often similar with, you know, the kind of the goals you hear from the legislature and from the, you know, kind of the state bigwigs, you know, sometimes our priorities are a little different. And I think our priorities really should be heard because we are young, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're short-sighted. And in fact, I think our vision is for the future rather than for the present.
So, Caroline, you're in Juneau right now. Why?
Oh, I work for the state now. But don't, I'm at work. I don't want to get in trouble for,
oh,
you know,
okay. No, no.
Talk of Alaska.
That's right. And we won't take much of your time. But
okay,
but do you feel that you are, you know, as you're moving into young adulthood, that you are finding your engagement with the civic process career-wise?
I am. I've had some opportunities to just, you know, get involved with the community in Juneau. And I think that was one of our big priorities at the conference was figuring out how to get youth more involved. One of my big inspirations at the conference was a visitor and speaker, Tiffany Zolkowski. She's the mayor of Bethel, and she was a delegate at the 2006 Conference of Young Alaskans. And now she's the mayor of Bethel. I mean, that's pretty incredible. And it just shows, you know, young people, I mean, really, like, they just have to step up to the plate.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And that has been my observation as someone that moved to Alaska in 1982, that really the upward career path can be really nicely greased, much more so here than in, for instance, the East Coast states where the whole power structure is very much in place. And there actually is more opportunity for advancement for a young person here.
Definitely.
So I
agree.
I am glad that you brought it up. Are you on the steering committee?
Well, I wasn't on the steering committee for this round, but I may try to get on board for hopefully the next conference.
Uh-huh.
We'll see. The next steering committee hasn't been established yet. So.
Okay. Well,
we'll see.
All right, Caroline, thank you. What's your big priority of this?
Well, I was on the Healthy Communities Committee, but I'm also interested in economics and the state economy, so I dabbled in both topics.
Yeah,
I want to see one of my priorities, I think, is equal access to health care for all Alaskans.
You know, we could get there from here. I mean, that's observation of the people we've had on the program down through the years. We actually could get there from here. Probably Alaska has the best shot of any state.
I think so. I mean, some of our action items were kind of dealt with those specifics, you know, increased funding and research in telemedicine and trying to get more health insurance for kids and stuff like that. We really targeted some of those areas.
Well, you know, when you talk about healthy communities, So much of our health situation in Alaska is still amenable to prevention. You know, if people could be more serious about some of their risk factors and so forth, we really could probably, like in areas like diabetes and so forth, really see some substantial progress in our public health here.
Definitely.
But it's, you know, that's so vague and amorphous that it's hard to formulate any kind of goal about, you know, whatever these cultural matters are that contribute to that.
It is.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, thanks for calling in, Caroline.
Yep. Thanks for having us on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure. I always learn stuff. And our listeners appreciate the engagement with youth, I think. Let's go to Elise. Joins the program from Fairbanks. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Elise.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Well.
Hey, John.
Hi. So you were a delegate as well.
I was. Yeah, I was representing my hometown, Valdez, and I'm a student at University of Alaska, Fairbanks. So.
And what was your take home from this process?
I think my take home was less on what we decided and more on the process of how we decided it and how respectful everyone was of each other and how inspiring it was to, you know, have this really open dialogue that everyone really was able to contribute to and everyone's views were really respected. So I think that was the biggest thing.
So is there something you can put your finger on that is your a political view you had that you went into this conference with and you come out of it realizing that things are not that simple? We heard that from both of our participants, our panelists here today have kind of brought that up.
I definitely, to be selected for the conference, we wrote our essays on, you know, what is our vision for Alaska for the next 50 years. And I had written mine on sustainability and how, you know, Alaska needs to focus on sustainability. And I think that I'd completely neglected, you know, current infrastructure and how our state is set up economically right now when I had thought about, you know, the future of Alaska. And I think our conference really clarified that for me and just it taught me a lot of things I didn't know about the state's economy and about how resources are managed now. So,
yeah, it's so interesting, you know, because you come from a pipeline town, basically.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd look across there and think it might be an important factor in the state.
Oh, definitely. Well, I knew that, but
yeah,
I was kind of head in the sand as to, you know, how essential it is to our state. And kind of idealistic as to what we can do without that. But, yeah.
Anastasia, say hi and bye to Elise, please.
Hello. Nice to hear from you.
Elise, I want to thank you for calling in and making this show a little brighter.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah.
All righty. It's Talk of Alaska. Participants in the Conference of Young Alaskans are being highlighted. They just finished their conference in Girdwood. How long did it go, John?
It was 3 days long.
And how did those days divide down? I was told it was very intense. You really didn't do much of anything except this conference during that time.
Right. On the first day, we worked on our vision statement. Each committee produced one of those. On the second day, each committee produced their 10 most important goals, and then the body whittled it down to 5. Same happened on the third day when we came up with 20 action items, and the whole body selected the 10 most important.
We started out about 8 in the morning and didn't finish till pretty late. So.
Yeah. And how about those floor fights that Brian was talking about, things that were, you know, appealed? That must have been really fascinating. Anastasia.
Oh, sorry, what did you say?
He said that the rules provided for if you got enough, you could get something reconsidered, and a couple of those came up, he said. That must have been fascinating.
Oh, yeah, that definitely was a very interesting part. That was the last day. There were six action items that were amended, So someone maybe wanted to reword some of the phrasing. So we then debated and voted on that. And then there were four action items that were actually challenged. And you needed 15 votes to do this, and then two-thirds majority to pass that through. So, yeah, we debated on that part for about 5 hours.
Did the challenges succeed, any of them?
Yes, two of them did, actually.
Wow. So that's a lot of persuasion.
Yeah.
Wow. No, that's really interesting. And how was that accomplished? Either one of you involved in either of those?
Well, the whole... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I didn't personally challenge any of them, but one person would present the item that they challenged, and then we would continue to debate it as a group, mm-hmm. all 55 delegates.
Right. The whole body would discuss after hearing the arguments for and against, and then after quite a long time of contentious debate for each one, we voted on it.
Hmm. So, and probably some of this will show up in the TV edit, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I should hope so.
Those that would are interested in seeing some of the drama of this and how the process actually works,
mm-hmm.
get it on their TV. Let's go to Ingrid, joins the program from Kachemak Bay. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Ingrid.
Hi, yes, I'm a UAF journalism correspondence student, and I'd just like to sit... to remind the conference attendees to stick to their guns. Knowing the way it operates, there was probably a bunch of industry-hired PR fossil fuel proponents there. And it sounds like the conference attendees you're hosting, their argument may have gotten a little watered down because the girl guest said that they came away with the conclusion that Alaska's fossil fuel industries should be used before switching to alternate energy.
Well, I think you're oversimplifying, but let me just hang on there, Ingrid.
Sorry.
Anastasia, that wasn't quite how it came out, right?
Right. All of these different aspects were mentioned that we need to focus on former resources as well as look into alternatives, but I definitely think that there was an enforcement and a prioritization on the alternative energy.
Okay, I'd just like to remind everybody that the North Pole is melting, the oceans are dying, and through fossil fuel use, the Earth has become a non-renewable resource. In other words, the planet's dying, and that's the real reality here, and there's nothing that industry PR people can do to wash that away.
Yeah, but I don't think they were so. I don't think that there weren't outside people brought into this conference to make presentations to promote that sort of thing. I mean, that just didn't happen, Ingrid.
Okay, great. But I'm just thinking that it really sounds like industry had influenced the thinking there one way or the other.
Well, I mean, these are delegates from all across Alaska, often would come in with views that they basically bring from their own households and their own parents and so forth. And it would be really peculiar if there weren't people in the 55 who had views, about our dependence on fossil fuels. I mean, Alaska is extremely dependent on fossil fuels.
Oh, yes, I realize that. But what we can do is switch to alternate energy and create a whole new dependency that will be Earth-friendly and actually have a better economy than we do now while we're killing the state and the planet.
Yeah, but of course it's all about getting from here to there, and that's the very area where these young people were trying to find engagement.
Right. Well, the planet dying, we don't have a lot of time to get from here to there, though. That's the thing. It's become a real crisis.
Yeah. John?
Well, actually, some of our goals specifically stated that the state was to combat global warming and use the best scientific knowledge to prepare for the changes in the future, as well as reducing environmental impact of all our industries. So I think it was a common goal for the body to reduce environmental impact.
Great. Well, it sounds like you guys did a great job, and I just want to give the hardline Earth First comment here. So thanks
all right.
a lot.
I appreciate it. That's a great role to play, and I think we all enjoyed it immensely. Let's go to Josh. Joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Josh.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Sure. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really well, just at work. I just want to take a minute to call in and see how things are going and offer my comments. I definitely don't feel like there was any outside influence on the process at all. It was entirely delegate-driven. There weren't necessarily representatives from specific companies driving the conversations at all. I felt it was entirely free of outside influence.
Yeah. I mean, Ingrid, I guess, was making the point, look, we got a real urgent emergency here that's not being looked at all. And if you break it down into pieces and don't see the internal contradictions of those pieces, are you really doing anything? I think that's what she was, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But the conference was really, really great. For me personally, what I took away from it was that there are a group of young people who really want to do something. And I think the conference was not saying, hey, we're going to do something 10 years down the road when we're state legislatures or attorneys or policymakers. We're going to do something now. And that's what the conference is all about, getting together, breaking down these action items. And then from this point, we have to get to the point where we can get engage some action about it and to let the key policymakers know how the youth of Alaska feel.
You know, what I think would be great is if there was some kind of platform where the steering committee or whatnot could say, you know, when the legislature concludes the session and they could sort of do a report card and say, look at here, we pushed on this and they all talked about what it was such a great idea. But when it came right down to it, it got killed in the rules committee, you know. You know what I mean? To somebody that actually sums it up at the end. Would be pretty good from a journalistic point of view to get a little bit more bite in it, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it can really happen. I know I worked in the Education and Leadership Committee, and we talked a lot. We didn't have an incredible amount of time. We didn't have 2 weeks, 50 days. We had just several hours, and we really wanted to present some goals and some action items that would put Alaska at a global standard of excellence because we have the resources, the physical resources. We have just a vast, vast variety, and we need the human capital to capitalize on that situation in the form of highly skilled workers where we don't have to keep on relying on bringing outside experts in.
Boy, yeah, you said a mouthful there. And, you know, you probably know we already have a workforce challenge in the sense that because of the, how long ago the oil boom happened here, that basically all those people are retiring and there's not enough people coming up through the ranks to replace them. And so the companies are having to do outside hire. I'm sure you guys went into that.
Absolutely. You know, we talked a lot about how can we keep Alaska workers inside Alaska and developing incentives, programs, loan forgiveness programs, and then how do we regulate that? It's a tough question that isn't easily answered. You know, me personally, one of the things I really pushed for and got on the action items is to try to develop a state-funded pre-K program. That's really where the education starts. There's all sorts of studies that show that starting kids in preschool, you know, that really benefits them later on in life. They have lower dropout rates, lower alcohol programs, and currently Alaska is, I believe, one of only 12 states that does not have a pre-K education system. So hopefully, you know, some work can be done on that.
All right, Josh. Thanks a lot for your call from Anchorage there. It's Talk of Alaska. The subject is the Conference of Young Alaskans. Participants in the conference are calling in. We have two of them as our guests here as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from
BP. Giving back to the community is a priority because so many at BP call Alaska home.
Providing statewide news coverage since 1978, we are the Alaska Public Radio Network, APRN, your source for Alaska's news.
the Conference of Young Alaskans, put together by the University of Alaska, and now having gone for 3 years, young people getting together, it certainly, if nothing else, provides us with a little bit more realistic and motivated future leadership. Some of these young Alaskans, as we've heard, have already gone on to leadership positions in the 3 short years that these conferences have been taking place. We have two conference participants from the Girdwood Conference with us right now, and more calling in by telephone. So it's been a whole lot of fun today on Talk of Alaska. Let's go to Gerald, joins the program from Fairbanks. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Gerald.
Thanks, Steve. Sounds like a pretty good conference. Would have been cool to check that out. But having been a part of conferences like this and some of these discussion groups, and really hearing, you know, I'm a recent college graduate, and really hearing a lot of the same sort of points of view come up that I've heard. I just wanted to talk about the sort of the pragmatics of Alaska politics. Obviously, energy was one of the big things that you talked about, but we have a governor that says drill, baby, drill. So we're in a anti-progressive state, and I just wanted to talk about, or for you guys to talk about, you know, how do we get there? How do we get to a progressive place on something like energy, where it's obviously way cheaper to burn coal, and, you know, what's the incentive? There is no carbon cap and trade at this point. So just like to hear the how do we get there from here.
Yeah, well, clearly one of the most difficult areas. John, why don't you grab this? The political practicality of pushing renewable resources in a state that's full of fossil resources.
Well, I think we are full of fossil resources, but we also have incredibly abundant and potential renewable energy resources such as wind, solar, tidal. And I think that just sticking with what we have is not a responsible way to best harvest the most energy.
John, obviously it's not responsible. That's why we're discussing it. But politics doesn't promote what's responsible, does it? Politics promotes what's feasible and what's popular at the moment. So how do you get from responsibility to fact, to implementation, to policy?
Investment
Of money, you mean?
Right.
Of funds?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that what we're talking about? How do you get the political motivation to invest in the things that we all know that we need to be investing in?
Well, this conference, it helped to show that the youth are definitely interested in, as a majority, in prioritizing the development of renewable energy resources through any means possible. So even if it isn't a priority of the current state legislature, the youth definitely would like to see it happening. And so I think it was the way we did this conference, we just want to make that known that that's what we want.
Sure. Okay, and you guys are a good advocate for that, and I support that, because I didn't mention this, but I am a renewable energy consultant. And having been a recent graduate of the university, I am in the situation where I'm trying to make this happen and finding that it's a lot tougher than I ever imagined it to be. And the path from here to there, to me, is not at all clear. And I just wanted to get some of the brightest minds around thinking about that.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate that, Gerald. And as you probably know, what happens over time is that some of these young people choose to become legislative aides. Some of them choose to become candidates, and you have an electoral process. And as time goes on, new leadership comes in. And if you have new leadership that's practical, maybe that's all for the better. Gerald, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, let's go to Andrew, who joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Andrew.
Hi. I was a delegate to the conference as well. I live here in Anchorage. I'd like to comment on the age group of the of conference participants, but first respond a little bit to the last caller from Fairbanks.
Sure.
I'm also a recent college graduate and really excited about renewable energy, and The main point that I took away from working with energy predominantly on the conference was that there's a real strong ideal interest in sustainable energy, but there's also everyone was really grounded in the practicalities of the state economy. You know, we get 80-90% of our budget from oil reserves, and so that kind of recognition of those practicalities made us kind of settle on a position that, you know, we need to adopt the same strategy that a lot of Middle Eastern countries like Saudi Arabia and Bahrain or and Dubai are taking, of use these oil profits they have now to invest in real sustainable and renewable energies. We can't immediately change our energy system, our infrastructure right now, and so the smartest thing that us young Alaskans can do is advocate for the fact that those fossil fuel resources in all likelihood won't be around when we reach maturity ourselves. And so if the state doesn't start doing something now, looking and, you know, taking a long-term vision and saying, well, how are we going to leave our children? What kind of resources are they going to have? You know, plowing all this money we're generating now into technologies that will keep generating profit after the fossil fuels are gone. That's, I think, the greatest thing that young people like us can advocate.
Andrew, we're running out of time, so you got to flip over to your other comment on the ages
there.
Sure.
Sorry about that. And my last comment was, I don't think it's been explicitly stated that the age group of this conference was 16 to 25, so it got a whole lot of people together who wouldn't normally meet each other, not only geographically from all over the state, but from people from high school, college, and post-college years, and that generated a lot of great new ideas because, you know, I've been gone for 4 years out of state in school, so I got to meet up with young Alaskans who have been here while I've been gone, and they can provide input on news stories and discussion points that I haven't been exposed to since I've been gone.
Andrew, thank you so much. Anastasia, thank you for being with us from Healy.
Yeah, thank you very much. We really appreciate the help and the voice that you've given us.
All right, John, thanks for coming into the studio here.
I thank you as well.
And do you think you'll end up being a legislative aide?
I hope so.
Next Tuesday on Talk of Alaska, we'll continue to focus on the future, reacting to the inauguration, which will have just taken place. Gooseberry Peter at the controls, Len Anderson on the phones, Duncan Moon's a managing editor. I'm Steve Heimel. Thanks for listening.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network. APRN brings news about Alaska to public radio every day. APRN, we cover the stories that impact the lives of all Alaskans. Views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at aprn.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.